Now, you may have noticed a number of stories on RTE over the past couple of days, dating back to the 90s and early 2000s. They're all part of the annual State Papers release. RTE's Fiacra O'Kioni, Evelyn O'Rourke and Harry Manning have been trawling through these previously classified government files to update us on what those in power were privately saying about public incidents all those years ago. Among the thousands of files have been those on the Northern Bank robbery, paramilitary activity, dead pandas, NASA space shuttle emergency landings, the 1995 divorce referendums, and a lot more. Again, this morning, Fiacra is with us in studio. Fiacra, first of all, for people not familiar with the State Papers, what are they?
Well, Gavin, the State Papers, they're previously secret government files released at this time of year every year due to two particular laws. Now, the first law is the 30-year rule for files relating to the Republic of Ireland, and the second law is a 20-year rule relating to Northern Ireland files. Now, that second law, it came into effect in 2018 so that our Northern Peace Process files would stay as up-to-date with similar files released in Britain at the same time of year. And that's important for all kinds of narrative, wider narrative reasons that people will understand. Now, after January 2nd, the general public can go to the National Archives offices in Dublin City Centre to see these files, but we in the media, we get a sneak peek of them beforehand.
Give us a recap of what was revealed at the weekend. Firstly, on the Northern files.
Yeah, those Northern Ireland files, they really packed a punch, Gavin, and one of the most hard-hitting involved Britain's Northern Ireland office saying it was, and I'm quoting here, given to believe that the £26.5 million Northern Bank robbery had been organised by Bobby Storey. Now, for people who don't know the name, Bobby Storey, who died in 2020, he was a very significant Sinn Féin member and Republican figure, to such an extent that he was named in Stormont in 2005 by Unionist MLAs as the Provisional IRA's head of intelligence. Now, that file also said in the Northern Ireland office's view that all the controversial activities of recent times led back to Bobby Storey, and that he was, in their words, a threat to the peace process. Now, other files relating to Northern Ireland released at the weekend mainly focus on then US President Bill Clinton's visit to Ireland in 1995, and in particular a back and forth with White House officials who were reluctant for Bill Clinton to be seen publicly shaking hands with Gerry Adams at a cross-party event at Queen's University Belfast. That wasn't the only back and forth dilemma during that visit, though, with what can only be described as a bizarre situation where a White House request for Bill and Hillary to be able to delay a live TV speech so they could have some downtime in Dublin was pushed back on by Irish officials as it would impact on the Late Late Show's usual broadcast time. Now, US president or not, when it came to the 1990s in Ireland, of course, no one was bigger than Gilbo.
What did the weekend files say about down south?
Well, much like the Northern files, Gavin, the Republic files at the weekend also ranged from the serious to the near comical. On the serious side, we had the deeply divisive 1995 divorce referendum, which of course only passed by 0.28%, so real knife-edge stuff. And one file on the divorce referendum showed that Ireland's then ambassador to the Holy See, Gerard O'Brien, requested a formal briefing on how to respond to Vatican interest in the referendum months before the referendum was even called. Now, on the more bizarre side of things, we also had confirmation of when NASA first requested that Shannon Airport be designated as an emergency landing zone for, of all things, the space shuttle. That file including an acknowledgement shuttle operators would have less than 20 seconds to decide which country to aim for if something went wrong. And that small word, if, Gavin, it sent Irish officials into a bit of a tailspin themselves on that one. And of course, we also had the sad tale of Ping Ping, one of two pandas sent to Ireland in 1986 by China, a visit which Beijing later blamed in part for Ping Ping's death years later. Now, that claim was strongly disputed both by Irish diplomats and Dublin Zoo at the time.
Today's files, USA 94.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I know you're a big football fan, Gavin, like myself. So when I think about USA 94 and Ray Houghton's goal against Italy in particular, it's images of happy-go-lucky fans in America that spring to mind. But diplomats, they privately told a slightly different story in these files. One file we've published this morning in the past couple of hours shows that while Ireland was celebrating, hundreds of Cork-based Irish fans were in a far less happy mood when they got to Orlando in Florida. Now, that's because while they were travelling, the British travel agent SportX went bust, meaning those fans were left without hotels or tickets for the second game against Mexico when they landed. Now, that was no laughing matter, with Ireland's Washington embassy writing in December 1994 that officials believed at the time the situation could turn, in their words, riotous, and that a riotous situation was only narrowly avoided when quick-thinking diplomatic staff either gave up their own tickets of their own volition or found, let's say, some creative ways to resolve the ticketing dilemma. Now, there's also a sporting team running through some of today's other files, and that includes what happened at the abandoned Ireland-England soccer friendly at Lansdowne Road just a few months later.
Yes, the Lansdowne Road riot by English hooligans. Here's what the then Ireland manager Jack Charlton had to say about it after the game was called off.
It's a disaster, this. I hate this. We've never had anything like this in this country. We've never created anything like this abroad. It's when I play for England, I've never experienced anything like this before. And I've seen a lot in football, but I've never seen anything like that. And then the game was abandoned within 10, 15 minutes of getting off the park. They came and told us they'd abandoned the game. And I said, well, I didn't want the game abandoned. I would rather we went on with the game. I mean, what are you going to do with 2,000 England supporters running around Dublin tonight?
Yeah, some strong words there from Big Jack in response to English hooligans causing significant damage to Lansdowne Road when Ireland were winning that game 1-0, by the way. Now, as a result, the Findlay report was commissioned into what went wrong and what happened. And 2 months later, in April 1995, an aide memoir was given to Cabinet, and it outlines a number of points, two in particular. One, that the Garda Reserve and public order units in the stadium were insufficient. And two, that information received from the English National Criminal Intelligence Service by the Gardaí was not sufficiently conveyed to the FEA.
1995's files also highlight a pretty big event in Irish politics, Fiacre.
Yes, they do, namely the collapse of the Fianna Fáil Labour government and the establishment of the Fine Gael Labour Democratic Left Rainbow Coalition, all taking place in December 1994 without a general election. Now, that whole scenario was caused due to allegations by new Attorney General Owen Fitzsimons, who accused the then Taoiseach Albert Reynolds and other Fianna Fáil cabinet ministers of, in his words, misleading him and the Dáil over the request to extradite notorious paedophile priest Brendan Smith to Northern Ireland. Now, Mr. Fitzsimons formed a view that ministers had withheld information that challenged an explanation given by his predecessor Harry Whelan for the delay in extradition, specifically that it was the first case of its kind relating to abuse, when in fact it was not. While Albert Reynolds rejected the claim in the Dáil, today's files show Mr. Fitzsimons still said he was disturbed by what happened, and the controversy, including Harry Whelan's appointment as president of the High Court, led to the eventual decision a few weeks later by Labour to leave the coalition and establish the Rainbow Coalition. Now, here's Fine Gael leader John Bruton speaking at the time of the Dáil in November 1994 and calling for Albert Reynolds to resign over the Whelan affair.
The Taoiseach has just engaged in a merciless destruction of the reputations of other people in a desperate attempt to save his own skin. I ask the question, why will the man who insisted on appointing Mr. Whelan as President of the High Court not resign too? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John Bruton, who later became Taoiseach. Fiacre, tell us more about the Northern Files today.
Yeah, there's one big story in the Northern Files today that really we're focusing on, and it involves one of the most dramatic moments of the early 2000s in Belfast, namely Stormont Gate. Now, in October 2002, the PSNI took the unprecedented decision to raid Sinn Féin's Stormont offices due to an alleged provisional IRA spy ring. Now, the files show that hours after the significant raid, then British Prime Minister Tony Blair's most senior official, his Chief of Staff Jonathan Pell, told Dublin that the evidence was damning and we have a rather large problem due to the impact on the peace process. Stormont was duly suspended 10 days later and direct rule reimposed while crisis talks took place. But the case, of course, has far wider consequences than even that. One of the Sinn Féin officials arrested at the time in the raid was Dennis Donaldson. 3 years later, Northern Ireland's Public Prosecution Service dropped the charges, saying they were, in their words, no longer in the public interest. And just days after that, then Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams held a press conference to confirm Mr. Donaldson was, in fact, an MI5 spy. Now, just 4 months later, in April 2006, Dennis Donaldson was found dead in County Donegal due to shotgun wounds to his chest. While there have been arrests and while the real IRA subsequently, years later, claimed responsibility, to date, no one has been convicted.
Fiacre, thank you. Plenty more in the state papers on the RTE News app and on the RTE website.